Well, hello again and welcome to our broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. We're looking at the life and ministry of Paul the Apostle. Stay tuned. We've said many times that during this series of messages on the life of Paul the Apostle that when we study the scriptures, we should look first of all at the Bible just for observation, and then second for interpretation, and then third for application. There's no sense just observing it and interpreting it if we're not going to apply it. The Bible says these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so here we have this, all of this information here for us to be admonished. And so we're going to go back again, and we've been through most of what we've talked about in the life of Paul the Apostle, dealing basically with observation. We've just been observing what's going on. Now we're going to go back and cover what we've already covered, but to make some more applications to our lives so that we can learn what we should learn. These things, as we said, are written for our admonition. So we're looking at the life and the ministry of Paul the Apostle. Now, the dictionary says life is that period between birth and death. And we've mentioned before, if you go into a cemetery and look at every tombstone, you'll find that basically what it's saying, that is, life is a small dash between two dates. And that's exactly what Paul the Apostle had. He had his birth, he had his death, and a small dash in between. And in between, he had a ministry. Now, the dictionary has a very interesting definition of the word ministry. It says a spiritual work of service of any Christian or group of Christians. And so we ought to all be involved in some kind of a ministry. The Bible says that we need to attain unto the life wherewith we are called. We all are here for a purpose. Paul the Apostle found his purpose, although he started out, when you first look at Paul's life, he is referred to here as a persecutor. What is a persecutor? Well, he is one who has hostility and ill treatment towards someone, especially because of their race or political or religious beliefs. Now, Paul had a serious hostility against those who named the name of Jesus Christ. And so, as a persecutor, he first comes on the scene, and in Acts chapter 7, verse number 57, we have seen that when Stephen was preaching, it says they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now we know that this is Paul. His name was later changed to Paul. He is a young man here, and he is a persecutor. We read also in Acts chapter 8, verse number 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. Men and women. And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, we read, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So the question is, why did this young man turn out to be a persecutor? Why was he persecuting Christians? Well, if we look at his own testimony, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13, that he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Now, to be ignorant is to be lacking knowledge, information, or awareness about something. So we need to ask ourselves, why was he ignorant? Why was he ignorant? Why did he not have any knowledge or information or awareness about the cause of Jesus Christ? Well, it obviously had to do with his upbringing and what he had been influenced as a young child to believe. Somebody influenced Paul the Apostle, or as his name was at the beginning, Saul, as a young man. Someone had influenced him to be against the Christians, and someone had influenced him that he would have a lack of knowledge and information about what that was all about. He had been influenced in that direction. Now, he also said that he obtained mercy because he said, I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. Why did he have this unbelief? What is unbelief? It's an absence of faith. And so it's interesting that the word unbelief only appears in the Bible 16 times. I would have thought it would be there more than that. We need to look at those. We won't take a look at all of them. We'll take a look at a few of them. But what we will discern right away by looking at these things is that unbelief is simply a choice. We choose not to believe something. For instance, Mark chapter 16, verse 11, it says that Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. Now, Jesus is talking to the 11 apostles here, to those disciples that had followed him for 3.5 years. And it says here he upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart because they believed not. They chose not to believe. Well, you look in Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, it says there that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He made a choice. He believed God. Romans 4:20 says, he, that is Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, we see Paul the Apostle, he's living in unbelief. He said that in his own testimony. And he went on to tell us here, Luke did in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 3, that as he, that is Paul, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, it says here, as he journeyed. We could look at a lot of places in the Bible where it talks about someone in a journey. For instance, Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 9, it says, Abraham journeyed still, going on still. Then in Genesis 13:11, it says, Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Lot journeyed. Abraham journeyed. Remember, they went in two different directions. Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah and ended up in a mess where Abraham was exactly the opposite. But they both chose their journey. We read in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 33 that a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. That is where someone who was in trouble was. And this Samaritan in his journey came there. And of course, you remember the story. He helped him. Then we read in Luke chapter 11, where it talks about a friend of mine is in his journey and I have nothing to set before him. So we have a lot of people in the Bible that are in their journey. You know, the story in Luke 15, verse number 13, talks about the fellow with two sons, and the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. And where did his journey take him? Took him to the pig pen. He chose the journey that he was going to take. Well, with Paul, when he gets to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verse number 3, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And then in verse 7 of chapter 9, it talks about the men that journeyed with him. We're all in a journey. Everybody's in a journey. And here we have the men that journeyed with him, and they're all making decisions. Everybody is deciding deciding what kind of journey to go on. Well, in Acts 22, in verse number 6, Paul was giving his testimony, and it says, "It came to pass that as I made my journey." And then in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 10, he prayed later on, making a request. He said to God, "If by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God." So we have everybody in a journey. You look in Hebrews chapter 11, and by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, and the list goes on. And when it talks about faith in that chapter, and we've mentioned this before, that it's not talking about trust. It's talking about what they believe. Now, if they really believe it, they will trust. But there's 245 times the word faith appears in the Bible, and 240 of them, it's not talking about trust, it's talking about faith. Keep the faith. Delivered unto the saints. It's talking about what we believe. And so Abel and Noah and Enoch and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and all the rest mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 says they lived by faith. That is, they lived by what they believed. And you and I today are making our journey in direct relationship to what we really believe. Well, as Paul got near Damascus, we read back in Acts chapter 9, verse number 4, that he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" So the first thing we see here is that Saul had to get off his high horse, and we find him with his face in the dirt, and this is where God has to get your attention. It's just that simple. He fell to the earth, it says. Well, we read that about Joshua. It says in Joshua 5, verse number 14, he fell on his face to the earth. It says that about Abraham in Genesis 17 and 3. He fell on his face. It says that about Ezekiel. It fell upon his face, he said, in Ezekiel 44. And verse number 4, even Jesus, when he was here, certainly he was not a sinner, but it shows the reverence that he had before God in Matthew 26 and 39. In the garden there, we read he fell on his face and he prayed. What we need to learn from this is that we need to learn to respect who God really is. Who are we talking to when we talk to God? Paul and these men that we mentioned here, and even Jesus before his Father in heaven, we see this humility. He fell on his face and he prayed. Well, the next thing we read about Paul as he's coming into Damascus here in verse number 4 is he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, he heard a voice. The first time we hear about somebody hearing the voice of God, of course, was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 10. And then it says there that they heard his voice and they were afraid. And they hid themselves. Are you afraid of the voice of God? We don't need to be afraid of the voice of God unless we're doing something that we know that God doesn't want us to do, which is exactly what Adam and Eve were doing. Isaiah said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." He said, "I heard the voice of the Lord." And he wanted to know who would go to work for him. And Isaiah said, "That would be me. I would be glad to do that." Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to just say, "Lord, here am I, send me. I will do what you want me to do"? Well, as we get into this portion of Scripture here, we see that Paul in Damascus, verse number 9, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, what we have here are the first recorded words in the Bible that Paul spoke. And the words were, "Who art thou, Lord?" Now, Paul would spend the rest of his life testifying about this experience so as to reveal who the Lord is. We read through Acts chapter 22 in a long story there. He gives his testimony and he talks about the fact of what had happened here in Acts chapter 9, and the end result of that was there was a riot. Then we look in Acts chapter 26, and once again, he gives his testimony, and the whole city's upset again. Every time he gave his testimony, everybody got upset. But Paul loved to tell everybody what happened on that Damascus Road after he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And by the way, that's exactly what happens when anybody truly trusts Christ as their Savior. They want to tell somebody else. Well, we're out of time again, according to that music in the background. We got to go. Tune in for our next broadcast.